Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
This is what happens to people. They get hurt, things happen. And you know what? They kind of slowly inch away. I'm too ashamed, I can't come back. You can come back. That's the whole point.
That was Pastor Marty Herring, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today on the program, Pastor Herring talks about the picture of a church as a home in a message called Everyone Wants a Home.
William Tyndale, fascinating story. It's interesting that one of his greatest pains in all that he went through was that he could not get back to home. He was always outside of England, and during those years, he just had a longing to go home. That was a huge drive behind all of this. Besides the fact his friends and all that was taking place, he really did have a drive to believe that the English Bible needed to be in the hands of English-speaking people. We can't really understand and fully appreciate the dynamic going on at that time. And a very talented, gifted man, but obviously loved God. His greatest drive was, again, to take the Bible and put it into English. We have this version, the King James Bible. Most of what Tyndale's work was done became a backbone for what was later used by King James in order to have this accomplished. That's why we have the Bible today and we can understand that. Now, I hope you do will take it a challenge. You know, you think about a man 42 years old, his life was snuffed out at such an early age, and yet why, here we are, years, hundreds of years later, people know the name William Tyndale because there's distinctiveness about him. It's innate in all of us. Everybody wants a home. I've mentioned before, and I'm going to just mention again that the Bible gives three types of homes that God wants you to have. He wants you to have a family home, but not everybody has one. Does that mean that you're deficient if you don't have one? Not necessarily. It's nice to have. The Bible also talks about a heavenly home. He mentions it in Ephesians 2:19, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. That's a heavenly home. It's a home in heaven. He wants you to have that. He wants everyone to have that. And then he puts on earth what would be an image of what heaven should be, is a church home. Let me talk about the church home, our home. And that is very simply, start from the ground level up. And let me mention that foundation. Put 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 3, verse 11. This is how Paul said it. Paul said that for there's no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. The foundation of a church is Christ. He, Paul, used that analogy. And so if you can understand that, you can also then understand that building on that foundation is a home. And the three questions I want to leave with you. Number one, why is our home here? And it is here, very simply, the expression that you've heard me say many times, and that is Matthew 22:37, when the Shema was quoted out of Deuteronomy. What's the end of the commandment? What's the greatest commandment? Well, out of the 613 that are out there, it's not about the law, it is about grace found in Christ. So therefore, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He answered, love the Lord your God. In other words, you exalt him as the king. And the expression of that is the second commandment is likened to the first, and that's to expand the kingdom, very simply. So if you look at Matthew 22:37, that's the great commandment. You expand the kingdom, that's the great commission. Let me give you the second question. That is, what is our home made up of? When you're looking at a home, you should be able to make up and understand what your home is made up of. On a physical basis, in the United States, many homes are made up of lumber or wood or metal studs. Here, most of them, they're made up of concrete or cement. Many homes in this part of the waters also are made up of simpler structures. The stronger the material, the stronger the home will be when it has typhoons hit it. So what are the five major values that make up who we are or that cement our home together? The theological mortar cements our home. We try and emphasize these five. Number one is worship. You find it in Matthew 22 when he talked about loving the Lord your God. He's not talking about keeping law. He's talking about being able to give worship to God, our time and our attention. Or the area of ministry, looking for ways to serve other people. In addition to that, the other emphasis of what I'd call cement
theological mortar is the idea of evangelism, going and teaching all nations. That's part of the Great Commission. Number four is the area of discipleship. As the Scriptures teach very clearly, you're teaching them to observe all things. You're to go into all nations, teaching them to observe, which leads to the last area, or what I call theological mortar, which is the area of fellowship. And I think that's why later he says, partnering with the Lord and believers, that Christ himself is going to empower you. And the fellowship one with another. That's why many times in our own Bible studies, in the times we have in fiestas together, give us a chance to be able to worship together. Now, I say all this because if you miss this, you really miss the value and importance of why God wants to work in and through you. And that's why I finish with, very simply, what is the attraction to our home? Why is our home? What is our home? But what is the attraction to our home? And church, as birthed out of Acts 2, gives us a powerful picture. Let me finish with these four thoughts, because you find the statement made, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Fear come upon every soul. All that believed were together. They had things common. They sold their possessions and goods. They parted them to all men. They continued daily with one accord in the temple. They broke bread from house to house, ate their meal with gladness, praising God. They had their favor with all the people. What a powerful illustration of a New Testament church, a home. What is it to look like? And the benefits. When I read that, I realize very simply, they identified them with a group. When you end up finding what's the attraction, what should be the attraction to our church home, you know what it should be? It gives the people a place to identify as a group. And those were called Christians first in Antioch. You also find not only identified with a group, but they gave them a cause for living. It wasn't just purpose-driven, it was person-driven, found in Christ. In addition to that, the church itself also gave them a location to worship. It was a place in which they did come and give, and God said, I'm going to bless that. Here we are 2,000 years later. Why do we do what we do? I told you the story of Sid. And he was our dog that was given to us by Marcy Tiong. He was the little German shepherd that we had. Kind of cool dog, although he was a big dog. And eventually, he's a very smart dog. But he was outside most of the time, chained up. There was a lot of work to have a dog. How many of you have a dog? So Sid got bigger and bigger and bigger. And every so often, he would get out and get off. And we always caught him, and it was no problem. Sometimes he was in the house, and we let him in the house. And he was just in the kitchen because the kitchen was tile, and it was no big problem. And every so often, he'd sneak onto the carpet. And it's like, whoa, don't do that. So he'd back out. Well, one particular day, after about a year, Sid got loose. And we didn't know it. We went off here to harvest. My wife was at home. She came out. Sid's gone. Sid's gone. Big problem. Sid's gone. So I came home, Sid's gone, he's like gone. I'm driving around the neighborhood, we were down by Pago Bay, driving all over Pago Bay, cannot find Sid. Our next door neighbor regularly would say, Pastor, you better keep an eye on the dog. That dog's a nice dog, he can get stolen one of these days, you better be careful. So I thought he must have got stolen, but he didn't get stolen. It was just, he got out and he missed and this and that, and he's gone. So every day, we're looking for Sid, every day. Ended up into weeks, ended up a month. About a month later or so, the boys and I were driving to school early in the morning, and Sid shows up. Like right there in the road. We stopped. I got out. Sid. Boys got out. Hey, Sid. And he looked at us like, oh, Master, Father. And he kind of came towards us. And we're like, yes. And then he kind of started backing away, you know, like he was doing bad things, and he was shamed. So it's okay, Sid. Come. And he took off, man. It's like, ah! Boys chasing him. Bummer. Oh, get back in the car. I had to go to school. So it was like a week later. I saw him outside the gate. Sid! Miles comes in. Sid's outside. Sid's outside. Get some food. So he's bringing food outside. Okay. Put it by the gate, you know, so Sid will come and send all this food right to our back door, the house. And maybe Sid, so we're inside looking, you know, Sid's nibbling on food. He wouldn't come, man. He would not come back to the house. So we saw him a few days later. He was right outside. He's like laying outside the gate, outside the driveway. Like now he's been a bad boy. He's like a prodigal. He's been away. He's been away from the Father's house. He's too shamed. He can't come to the house. We chased him one day. We got him. It's like he didn't want to come to us, man. He knew who we were. And one of the last times I saw Sid, he was right at the gate. I walked out and was out. I'm not joking. I'm on the driveway. He's right outside the gate. He's looking at me. Sid, it's okay. I'm the only one out here, okay? Sid, come home. It's okay. I'm walking like this. It's okay, Sid. You're all right. I think if I could just get close, I'm going to grab him, see? It's okay, Sid. And I'm going, no matter what you did, it's all right. I forgive you, Sid. I'm slowly inching this way. And then he, I'm not kidding you, all fours, he's backing up. I said, Sid, it's okay. And he like slithered off like this poor prodigal. I just can't come back. Now, as foolish as that is, this is exactly what you have. Because I'm telling you something. God's built into your heart when he said the household of God. He uses expressions out of Acts 20, building up. You're constructing out of the grace of God, the church. That there are many a person, when things happen in a home, they get hurt. People get hurt. Hang on to it. And as dumb as it is for a Sid, as a dog, this is what happens to people. They get hurt. Things happen. And you know what? They kind of slowly inch away. I'm too ashamed. I can't come back. You can come back. That's the whole point. And if I would accept a dog back into my house, wouldn't you think that God himself would want you as a child of God? He doesn't want you away. He wants you here. This is the easiest place to make hardest decisions. This is just an earthly, visible picture of what someday is going to be a heavenly home. And it's such a bad picture. But this is God's genius to spread the gospel, to exalt the king and expand the kingdom. Let me tell you something. There are some people in churches just like our church. They have no other earthly home. This is it. As it was in the early church, there were many a person got saved out of a family in which they totally rejected Christ. I'm worshiping Caesar. I'm not worshiping God, who's the Lord Jesus Christ. And they found themselves in a great point of unity. There was great benefits to it all. This is what we're trying to provide for you. I'm not going to say this often, but I want you to understand, as simply as this is foundation for what we're doing. It is found in Christ. Our church is not here to do anything other than exalt the King who he is and expand the kingdom. If we can keep it simple, I think God will bless us and help you as well to be able to be fulfilled what God wants for your life. Everybody wants a home. I know you do too. And I want you to be able to identify with a group. I want you to be able to have a cause for living. I want you to give a location here to be able to worship and have a place to give. God will honor you for that. You might be here tonight and you have no genuine knowledge of who Christ is. After the service, we're down front. I want to invite you. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to give his life a ransom for many, and he wants to redeem you. It's that simple. There are people like William Tyndale that were called a heretic, and he wasn't. But his life made a difference. And I believe he'd want to do the same for you. What is it that he's calling you to do? We emphasize just praying, God, would you allow me to have one person that I could disciple? I want to encourage you to continue to do that. God, would you give me one person that I could lead the Lord and disciple? Help them to be able to exalt the King and be able to have his kingdom expanded.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us at this same time on Monday for the next edition of Heart of Harvest. Thank you.